enter and live on forevermore. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody will be happy. They will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout, we'll sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing around the throne. That land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody will be happy. They will be happy over there. Oh, we why don't we stand and sing it tonight? Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, there we'll meet the one who saved us. He kept us by his grace. He brought us to that land so bright and fair. Oh, we will praise his name forever as we look up on his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody will be happy. They will be happy over there. For we will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Once more. Oh, I
it's going to be great. Everybody being happy. Amen. So good to have you all here. God bless you. This is 237 in your handbook.
Well, I once was lost in sin, but my Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Well, it bathed my heart in love. Oh, it wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. He'll hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry sky, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn it, you'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend. He watches day and night.
You turn around and shake your neighbor's hand this evening. Just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. We'll tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn it, you'll know a little fire is burning. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry. Oh, he's gonna answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn it, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus. Oh, just praise him tonight. Oh, let us.
Is a friend who watches day and night. Oh, I can go to him in prayer, 'cause he knows my every care. I found just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. Oh, he's gonna answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn it, you'll know.
Amen. You believe that tonight? Amen. Let's just give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Amen. He's worthy of it. Amen. Amen. He's certainly good to us, isn't he? Amen. Want to announce, Lord willing, tomorrow morning we'll be having a pitch-in meal at the Tunnel Hill Christian Church in Georgetown, Indiana, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we're requesting that only those that are assigned to help with setting up for the pitch-in come inside the building there before 11 at the gym. And if you get there early, there's a shelter there you can sit under. You can stay in your cars and wait just a little bit. And then we're going to have a timeshare set up for the basketball court where the kids can have time to ride the scooters and have that for that. And then we'll have some time where the brothers can play basketball and things like that. So we'll have that kind of sectioned out at a times. And then we'll be having a special singing back here at 7:30 at the church. So want to come expecting and looking forward to that. We'll be opening the doors an hour early for that at 6:30. So if you want to get here early and get your seat and be in prayer, we'd encourage it. There's going to be quite a few more coming from West Palm Beach still and from St. Louis and Illinois and all over us coming in, Johnson City and different ones. So it'll be good to have our visitors with us, good to have all the home folks with us too. And Brother Jack will be preaching for us Sunday morning and Sunday evening. We had a testimony come in, Anna Irwin. She had been prayed for, and she had been broke out with a rash. They actually said it was some type of an autoimmune issue, and they thought it was going to be 4 to 6 weeks before she would recover from it. And she had looked like hives and things all over her feet, and they had taken a picture of it a few days ago, and they took a picture of it tonight, and they're almost completely gone. Amen. Amen. God's still the healer. Amen. So the doctors look and see and do the best that they can with what they know and from other cases and days gone by, but we serve a God that's able to heal right like that. Amen. He's a present tense God. And so I'm glad. Sometimes, you know, we have to wait for the medicine, but there's other times that God comes in and says, I'll just bypass that and go ahead and heal you. Amen. Brother Josh Leek and his family are traveling for the next couple of weeks and requested prayer for traveling mercies, especially during some potentially hazardous weather that they'll have to travel through. So I want to remember them in prayer. And Brother Darrell requested prayer for a coworker, a friend of his who has a 2-year-old nephew. And the little 2-year-old nephew has an optic nerve that's swelling, and the doctors are afraid he could lose his sight. So I want to remember that situation in prayer. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring, Lord, with uplifted hand? Amen. Know the Lord sees each one. Brother Layton, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? And just want to pray for these meetings, tonight's service and the upcoming services. Just come expecting and be in prayer for those. We're expecting God to do some wonderful things for us. Amen.
Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we approach you, Lord, according to that word, we've been taught to come boldly before the throne of grace. Lord, we do that, not that we're anything, but Lord, you have made us everything. We're thankful, Lord, for all that you've done for us, for salvation. Lord, you've revealed your word to us. You've called us. You've chosen us. You've forgiven us. You've filled us with the Holy Ghost, and you've placed us in the body. So, Lord, being your children and knowing that you will hear the prayer of your children, we come to you tonight in faith, Lord Jesus, asking for you to undertake for each one of these requests, the baby with the optic nerve problem, Lord, and Brother and Sister Leek that are traveling, and Lord Jesus, all the others, the one that was behind the hands that were raised, the loved ones, the health issues or the problems or family problems or whatever it may be, thou art the one that can hear and answer prayer. Your word tells us that your ear is not deafened, nor is your hand shortened, that you can't hear and that you can't answer. So, Lord, we come in faith believing that. Father, we hold up those that we each one may be praying for, Father, and I'm sure that every one has somebody or a number of people. Standing back there earlier thinking about my friend and my brother, Brother Mike Eplin, Lord, and reading his words on Facebook today of his trip to the doctor and what they said and the decision that he made, Lord Jesus, to go right along with the chemo treatment. Father, chemo treatment or not, you just take care of him. I ask that you not let him get sick, not let him get tired, not let him lose his hair. The Lord may be a testimony to everyone round about him of the power of Almighty God. And may you receive the glory. May he be completely healed. Lord, not only him, but we have others. I don't mean to embarrass my sister, but Sister Patty sitting here, Lord. How we pray for her that you'll completely heal her body. Lord, there's nothing that you can't do if we'll just ask in faith, believing. We don't understand the trials and tests. But Father, Brother Branham said there was a reason for all of them. But Father, we come as your children, humble, and just ask that you hear our prayer. Ask not only that you hear it, Lord, but that you will answer it. Now be in the service tonight. Bless the songs. Bless the song leader. Bless the whole congregation. Anoint Brother Duff as he comes. Use him in a mighty way. May thy Holy Spirit come in, Lord, for we invite you in. You're welcome here, Father. May your Holy Spirit go up and down the aisles and between the pews. Any that haven't accepted you yet, may they do it tonight. Any that hasn't received the Holy Ghost yet, may they receive it tonight. For the rest of us, Father, refill us, we ask. If there's any depressed or oppressed, deliver them. Any that may not be feeling well in body, you heal them before the service even ends tonight. For your glory, Lord, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Isaac Weber.
Lord's good, isn't he? Amen. I'm gonna be gone in the twinkling of an eye. I'm gonna be gone. Won't have time to say goodbye. I'm gonna be gone. Could be while I'm singing this song. I'm gonna be gone and it won't be long. Gonna be gone, amen. Well, this whole world was getting better. Every day it's getting worse. So much fighting and confusion going on down here on earth. But I won't let it bother me, for I'm not here to stay. Well, I know my Lord is coming soon and I'll be called away. I'm gonna be gone in the twinkling of an eye. I'm gonna be gone. Won't have time to say goodbye. I'm gonna be gone. Could be while I'm singing this song. I'm gonna be gone and it won't be long. Gonna be gone, amen. It could be just any morning. It could be night or noon. We don't know just when he's coming. We know he's coming soon. Well, I can say with calm assurance, this whole world is not my home. One of these days you're gonna look for me. Praise God, I'm gonna be gone. I'm gonna be gone. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm gonna be gone. Won't have time to say goodbye. I'm gonna be gone. It could be while I'm singing this song. I'm gonna be gone and won't be long. Gonna be gone. See it first again. This whole world's not getting better. Oh, every day it's getting worse. There's so much fighting and confusion going on down here on earth. But I won't let it bother me, 'cause I'm not here to stay. I know my Lord is coming soon and I'll be called away. I'm gonna be gone in the twinkling of an eye. I'm gonna be gone. Won't have time to say goodbye. I'm gonna be gone. It could be while I'm singing this song. I'm gonna be gone and it won't be long. I'm gonna be gone. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Isaac. Sure appreciate that. At this time, we have a special from Sister Rebecca Duff.
God bless y'all.
A lot of confidence in somebody to clap before they even sang. And, they don't ever do that for me, Sister Rebecca. Amen. Certainly enjoyed that tonight. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together. Oh, Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. Our Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah. He's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords.
Messiah is the Lord of lords. Oh, he's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Oh, our Messiah is the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord. Let's stand and sing it together. He's the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Yes, our Messiah, he's the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Oh, he's the King.
Wonderful, isn't he? Amen. God bless you. We're going to invite Brother Jack Duff, if he would come at this time, just to whatever he has on his heart for us tonight, for the young people and for the old people and the middle-aged people. It's focused to the young people tonight, but that doesn't mean it's got to all be to the young people. And we just come expecting, and he's been friends with us for many, many years, I guess about 16 years now, and just wonderful memories together, fellowship, and worshiping the Lord together and being in services together. And you pray for him tonight, pull on the gift. And I was thinking today, first time I met Brother Jack, he was standing behind a pulpit leading songs. And he sang a song that we've sang many times. And it went something like this. Oh, it won't be long. Oh, soon we'll be leaving. Oh, it won't be, no, it won't be very long till we'll be going home. Let's sing it that way again together. I know it won't be, no, it won't be very long. Soon we'll be leaving. So count the years and
we'll be going home. But here's the part I like the most. Oh, 'cause I know we shall be like Him. Church any day now, we shall be like Him.
We'll be going home.
Come on, sing it again. We shall be like Him.
We shall. Day now we'll be going home.
Let's just give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. I asked my daughter Rebecca just to come back, and you can be seated. We are certainly honored to be back here at Church of the Open Door. We thank God for your pastor, Brother Nathan. Amen. Truly a good friend of mine, and his precious wife and family. And you know, and last year we came for the dedication. I came with my brother, Brother Troy, and also Brother Stephen. You all remember he'll be here tomorrow. But my brother was convinced that he wanted to bring his wife, you know, this time, and she came, and my wife came, and my daughters came, my mom came, my mother-in-law came, and a number of other saints, and we're just so happy that many of them, half of the group made it today, and then the other half will be in tomorrow. And we also thank God for Brother Simba, amen, here on the front row. He's from St. Louis, and he heard we were going to be here. Say I'm driving down to be in service, so good to have him, amen. And just everyone here, amen, in the presence of the Lord. And I pray tonight that the Lord will just get all the glory and all the honor from everything that happens. Before we would minister our thought tonight, I was born for worship. I was created for worship. And I just love to worship. When I think about how good He's been to me, I can't help but worship.
Thank you. of worship. And amen, we gather here to have a youth service. My prayer, God, is that you would not just speak to our youth, but you would give them their own individual experiences. That the Holy Spirit would have its way in somebody's heart tonight. That it would truly make a difference. May this be somebody's night. Let this be the appointed time that they had to receive you in their hearts and to receive a filling of the Spirit. Let this be that night, God. We pray that you would bless our gathering. Thank you for everything that has happened thus far. We certainly feel your presence here, and as we enter into the word of the Lord tonight, God, hide us all behind the cross that none of us would be seen, but may Christ be on display. We commit this portion of the service into your capable hands. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand with me tonight. We will read, amen, just two verses of scripture from the book of Matthew, chapter 13. When the pastor mentioned that it was a youth service, I wanted to do all that I could to make sure we bring a thought that the youth, amen, could identify with. They used to have a little saying on the radio, you want to put the cookies on the lower shelf so the kiddies can get to them. And that's what we hope to do tonight. So Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to reading of his word. You can be seated. Amen. Tonight. We simply want to take a thought tonight on the word value. Amen. Value. And when we define that, amen, from Webster, the dictionary gives us value as the importance or preciousness of something. It uses another definition as the material or monetary worth of something. And then another, a third definition says the usefulness of something considered in respect of particular purpose. And I don't know, I mean, I'm sure we got young people here from at various stages, amen, of youth. But if I could just kind of start off back when I was a teenager and I got my first car, amen, what a blessing it was to get my first car. But as I recall, my first car was a what we call a jalopy. It was already rusted out. Amen, when I bought it. But I remember a friend of mine calling me up and say, hey, they got this car for sale, and you know, they only want so much money for it. And you know, and I went and I looked at it and said, yeah, I'm going to buy that. I'm so happy to be able to have my first car. But if you've ever had a jalopy, sometimes, you know, you get a car and you have different issues with it. Maybe a window doesn't let down on one side, or maybe the door handle is broken, you know, on one side. And I don't know if you've ever had to do this before, but, you know, because the door handle is broken on the driver's side, then you have the responsibility of entering the car, amen, on the passenger side. And you have to come from that side and crawl all the way over to this side. And you get in and you put the key in there and it cranks and you take off and you go. And there comes a time in your life where you feel blessed. And when you feel those blessings, then you get to a point where you're like, you know, I think I want to get a new car. And when you go to buy a new car, you're trying to sell that car. And when you put the for sale sign on it, somebody walks up to it and they look at the car. And then they decide, you know, you tell them, say, well, that door handle is broken, so you have to get that fixed, but you have to get in from the other side. And they pull the cash right out of their pocket and they say, I want it. And the reason that they buy that jalopy from you is because they still see value. They still see value. You might not see value, but they see value, right? Even we look at, you know, what we've just experienced here in our nation, a tremendous storm that just hit down in Houston and Texas area. Many of the cities there are just in an uproar. You hear different stories and things like that, you know, all over the internet. But let's say you're at home and you have, some clothes that you bought some time ago. And, I mean, when you first got it, you thought it was something very precious. But now you look at those same clothes and you say, man, I think I want to get something new. I'm kind of tired of wearing this. I want to get rid of this. You'll put it in a bag. You'll give it to Goodwill. Or you might take it and send it to some hurricane relief fund. Right, some place to send it down there, and you know you might not see any more value in it, but once it hits some young person down in Houston that has nothing tonight, they see all types of value in it. See, so value, amen, is we can define it as, amen, it depends on whose hands it is in before we know whether it's valuable or not. Right, it's always going to depend on whose hands it is in. Amen. So let me just kind of, you know, start off here. I want to read a little quote, amen, from the prophet out of the message, Love. It says, I asked my wife not long ago. I said, I want to ask you something, honey. I said, what is real true value placed on? And I believe I told you that the other night, what the true value says, nothing but lost souls is the only thing that's got any value in it. He said, money passes away, homes decay and go away, everything in the earth moves away. The only value, lasting value, I'd rather have one soul in glory that I won to Christ. Amen. To know and see that light of God circles around that soul through all eternity, my name to be associated with that, than to have every penny of money in the whole earth, because I'd have to lose it all. So what Brother Branham tells us is that, you know, only when we see a soul that's lost, a soul that finds their way, you know, then that's what has value. And I think that's the purpose of us coming here tonight, amen, dealing with the youth, because we want to make sure that not one is lost. Amen. Because every soul has value, especially in the hands of Almighty God. Amen. I was, you know, listening to a message Brother Branham brought, and I won't read this. I'll just give the story. He brought a quote, a couple things that he said in the message. Hear ye him, and I was listening to this, and he made a statement about this bum that was walking the streets of Louisville. And he says, this bum was walking the streets of Louisville, and he was passing out tracts and things of that nature. And, you know, first thing I think of, you know, that he's a bum, you're like, well, wow, how did he get there? Because I want you to think about it. That bum one day went to school like you all went to school. That bum, you know, might have graduated from high school. That bum might not have dropped out, right? He could have had the same education that you had, but something happened in his life to cause him to become a bum. Right. Oftentimes we might not understand what triggers something in a person's life to cause them to go, amen, in a particular direction. But you know, I heard a story one time of a man that became a bum, and what had happened? This man was doing very well in life. I mean, he had his wife, just had his family, had everything. He was doing just fine. What happened to this man though is that one day he was a little tired. And he says, he went home and he told his wife, said, I'm going to lay down. She said, well, I wanted to go hunting with you. And he said, well, I'm just a little tired. He said, you know, you can go on by yourself, because she was so used to doing that. She said, okay, I'll go out tonight by myself and I'll let you sleep. So, as she went out by herself, she got so far from the house and the man heard the gun go off. And then when he heard the gun go off, he said, now, she should not have been able to find anything that quickly. So I don't know why that gun went off. So he jumped up out of the bed. He went running down to find out what happened to his wife. And when he got there, he realized that she had tripped. And when she tripped, the gun accidentally went off, and she lost her life.
And when she lost her life, that man decided to say, now, had I been there with her, maybe that would have never happened. And because of the guilt that he felt, this man let go everything in life. He let go his house, he let go his children, and he became a bum. A tragic situation caused that man to become a bum. You know, the sad part about this is that we have bums naturally, but we also have some spiritually. Right? And there are things that happen to people in their spiritual walk where, you know, a bum typically has no direction. They don't know which way they're going. They don't know where they're going to lay their head at night. They have no idea what they're doing. And actually, some of them just don't care. I want to tell you, Brother Branham was warned by Almighty God. If he would have made one tragic decision, he would have actually become a bum. He was warned by God. He said, don't you do what you're thinking to do, because if you do it, your wife is going to leave you and you're going to be standing around a fire. You'll be a bum. Right? So we got to watch the decisions that we make, because we don't want to be spiritual bums, neither natural bums. But here this man was walking around, you know, here, amen, in Louisville, Kentucky. And even though he's a bum, he still had a certain joy, you know, about him. Brother Branham says he was just passing out tracts here in the city of Louisville. And, you know, and as he was just passing out tracts, he said while he was out there passing tracts, he got hit by a car. And when he got hit by a car, he went to the doctor. They took him to the hospital. And, you know, Brother Branham said it was city hospital that he ended up in. And as he's there at the hospital, the doctors begin to come in and out of his room. And as they're going in and out of the room, they're looking at his situation. They're kind of giving a diagnosis. And when they look at him, you know, they say, well, he's kind of, his age is up there. And maybe, you know, I mean, it's going to take too much to try to put all this back together again. So just let him be. Just put him back in the room and let him be. And they didn't realize that the man was listening to everything that they were saying. Right. I mean, he wasn't moving much. He wasn't talking much. But when he heard them say, he's not worth it, let's just let him, you know, let nature take its course, because he's not worth it. And sometimes as young people, you might hear people say this to you, you're not worth it. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God says you are worth it. Amen. And you have value. You were not a mistake when you were born. Amen. God ordained for you to be here. Hallelujah, somebody. Right, so you know here, you know he says, he's not worth it. So when the man heard them say he's not worth it, you know, Brother Branham said he just kind of turned his head towards the doctor. He said, "Yes, I am worth something." Amen. They say, "What?" Say, "We didn't know you could even talk anymore." Say, "I just need to let you know, yes, I am worth something." Yes. Said, "I might not have a home to go to tonight." See, I might not have, amen, the degree that you have, doctor. I might not have the house that you have. I might not have the car that you have, but I'm still worth something. Amen. He says, I'm worth so much that God sent his only son to die just for me. In my bum condition, he still died for me. Yes, I am worth something. And I want every young person to recognize that tonight you are worth so much that Jesus Christ would leave his throne in glory to come and die just for you. Amen. If he didn't do it for anybody else, he did it just for me. Amen. We look at, amen, a couple things here that I want to just kind of read. You know, when this bum could say that, there was a time, amen, in Scripture, and we want to pick up a few things here if we can. But there was a time in Scripture where Jesus decided to cross a stormy sea. And we're going to pick this up in Mark 5, but let me just set it up here in Mark 4. He told the disciples, said, let's go to the other side. Said, let's go to the other side. And as they were going to the other side, there was a tremendous storm that came upon the sea. And the storm was so bad, and the disciples were men of the sea. They fished all the time. You know, but when they saw this storm, they just couldn't understand. Say, you know, Jesus, you told us to go to the other side, but now you're sleeping in the back of the boat, and there's a storm that's come upon us, and we don't know if we're going to lose our lives or not. So they went and they began to shake Jesus and they began to wake him up. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you even care that we're about to die? We're about to perish at sea. And when they woke Jesus up, you know, Brother Adam said Jesus just walked to the front of the boat and he put his foot on the top of the boat. And he said, peace, be still. And when he spoke, peace, be still, there was a calm in the sea and a calm in the winds, because he knew he had a purpose for going to the other side. That same God that spoke to, amen, the wind and spoke to the sea, and amen, that same God speaks to us tonight. No matter what you're going through, he says, peace, be still. Amen. There was a purpose for him going to the other side. Let's pick this up in Mark chapter 5. You young people, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 5. He had a purpose. He had a tremendous purpose for going to the other side. Let's read it. Follow me as we read this in Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Glory to God. It says this, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, I want you to get this in your mind, because this man is actually living in a graveyard. That's where he's taking his residence, to live inside of a graveyard. If I were to offer your parents, amen, and some of you that might be old enough to buy your own property, if I were to offer you some property in a graveyard, would anybody here take me up on that offer to try to build a house in a graveyard? Anybody want to live in the graveyard? Anybody? There's something wrong with this man that he would actually choose to live in a graveyard. Now, you need to understand, you know, Brother Adam said this man probably was a good Christian one day. He had a good family, but something happened, something triggered that caused this man to leave his home and go live inside the graveyard. Right. Something happened there. And in life, young people, I need you to understand, things will happen. Yeah. But no matter what happens, stay grounded. Yeah. Right? No matter what happens, stay connected. Right? No matter what occurs, amen, keep God first. Yes. Because things will happen. Yes. Hallelujah. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Here we find, amen, and verse 2 says, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Listen. Goes on, says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. This was a wild man. He didn't start out that way. He just ended up that way. Now, Jesus, remember, is pressing through a stormy sea just to get to this one man. I want you to think about it. I mean, he'll leave his throne in glory just to get to you tonight. That's how valuable you are. That's how valuable this man was. He even put the disciples in harm's way just to get to this one man. Hallelujah. Think about it. It says this. It says, verse 5 says, and always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. And when I see that, it tells me that this man did not like his condition. Right. This man did not enjoy living the life that he was living. He wanted to be free from that. And let me tell you something. If you have a desire tonight to be free from something, Jesus Christ is in the building tonight to set you free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. And always night and day he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I like to pause on that, because our youth today has some similar battles.
Think about it, right?
They might not be cutting themselves with stones, but there are many cutting themselves with a lot of other things.
Right.
And I need you to understand, that same unclean spirit that was upon this man, that same unclean spirit is still alive today.
Right.
In the midst of our youth, even in the message.
Right.
God, and I'm going to tell you something. The same devil that tried so hard to kill this man before he met Jesus is the same devil that's tried to do that to some of our youth before they come into an experience with Christ. But if the devil could not stop this man from meeting Jesus, then that devil can't stop our youth from meeting Christ as well. Listen. It says, and always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. This shows the, you know, just the way that this man, he did not want to be in that condition. He can go from cutting himself to coming to worship. Right. Just like that. He was battling an unclean spirit. Yeah. And our young people are battling the same type of spirits today. Sometimes it's hidden and people don't know about it, but God has a way of taking his word to go right into the area where it needs to go to deal with the heart of his believer.
Amen.
Listen. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Verse 7, and cried with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Now, how does this man go from worshiping to now telling Jesus to leave him alone? It lets us realize that it's not him talking. But it's a demonic presence that's in this man causing him to say some of the things he said. Parents, sometimes it's not the child. It's a demonic presence. And we need the power of God to get him free. I want you to keep looking at this. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And I love that. Jesus not playing games.
Right.
And being Jesus, he didn't have to say in the name of Jesus. He just said, "Come out of him, thou unclean spirit." But tonight I say in the name of Jesus, come out of them, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Over 2,000 demons was inside this one man. My question tonight is, how did 2,000 devils get in one man? Let's see if we can read a little bit about what the prophet said. And we'll pick this up, amen, verse 9 in a second. This is out of the message, "And then Jesus came." I love, you know, even when you just listen to the titles of Brother Branham's sermon, there is a message in the title. We're talking about how bad this man was, but then Jesus came. So when Jesus comes, things change. I don't care how bad the circumstance is. I don't care how bad the situation is. When Jesus comes, it's going to change. I believe Brother Branham said this. Says, did I get the right one? Yeah, he says that's where many young men and young women loses out, getting mixed up in the wrong group, the wrong associates. Says so one night they taken him out. This man got into the wrong company. He went with the wrong group just one night. Just one night. That's all it takes. I want to tell you, young people. When your parents are telling you, no, you can't go here and you can't go there, there's a purpose for that. See, we have scripture to back it up. If you all remember the story of Dinah, I'm not sure how you want to pronounce it. Amen. But there in the book of Genesis, Jacob had a daughter and her name was, I pronounce it Dinah. Well, one night she decided to go out on the town with her friends. And that night she got raped. And she didn't come back home the same way she left. Right? So your parents sometimes are protecting you from getting into situations that you don't really need to find yourself in.
Right.
This man, how did he get 2,000 demons? One night he went out with his friends.
Hold on.
One night. Just one night. One night he decided to go out with his friends. I want you to stay with me. Says, so one night they're taking him out, give him a drink. Oh, play a little game or do this or gamble a little. It won't hurt. Then the first devil entered him. So when he went out, amen, that night, he played a little, he'd start gambling, taking a little drink. What Brother Branham says, then a devil just enters into him.
Right.
He never even felt it happen. Let's keep going. It says he went home and had to tell his wife a lie. Because maybe his wife asked him, well, where you been? What did you do? You know, I did this, I did that. He had to lie. And you might not be telling your wife, you might be telling your parents a lie. And as soon as you say that lie. And maybe you told mama to lie. Then she goes home and she tells your dad, he told me this story, she told me that story. This doesn't really measure up. I'm not sure. Maybe you should talk to him. And dad comes and he tries to figure out, and then you come up with another lie. And there's two devils. And you never even felt them come in. And every time you lie, every time you go back out and do the things that you were doing, another devil comes in, another devil comes in, another devil comes in. And you have no idea how you got that bound. But this is what happened to this man. Look at what Brother Branham says. Says, then the first devil entered him. He went home and had to tell his wife a lie. The second devil entered him, and on till he was possessed with a legion, and he got beyond any help. Well, that's maybe natural help. But when he come in contact with Christ, he could be helped. Let's look at it in the scripture. Verse 9 again says, he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. The devils besought him. Verse 11 says, now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, pigs. And all the devils, 2,000 devils, besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. I have to back up on that. I have to stop and back up on that. The reason I have to back up is because what we just read is that the devil besought the Lord. Yeah. The same devil that tell you God won't hear your prayer is the same devil that just had his prayer answered. I need you to think about that. So anytime the devil tells you that God won't hear your prayer, tell him that he is a liar. Because God just heard his prayer. Not only heard it, answered it. And he's a devil. Don't tell me what God won't do for you. If you'll just seek him sincerely.
Amen. Good, brother.
Go on to verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. See, the unclean spirits cause him to not dress properly. So if we find young people today that's not dressed properly, you want to know where the unclean spirit is? But he was clothed and in his right mind. And notice this, they were afraid. They had got so used to this man being in the condition that he was in, that now that he's in his right mind, they're afraid. That's sad. That's very sad. Listen. And they that saw it told them how it befell on him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They're asking Jesus to leave. I want to invite him to stay.
Amen.
And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So the man now is delivered and he wants to follow Jesus with everything he has. But notice what Jesus tells him. He says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. That means leave the graveyard now. Go back home. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. The only person that could even do what this man needed done. No psychiatrist could do it. But Jesus Christ could. And he went through a stormy sea just to get to one man, because that man's soul had value. I want to tell you tonight that you have value. Amen. In the presence of the Lord tonight. You know, sometimes as young people, you go through things where you fight the problems with self-esteem. You end up getting low self-esteem, and you begin to feel worthless. Amen. You, because of your mistakes that you make. But I want to tell you tonight that don't allow the devil to win in that area of your life. Amen. I don't care what type of mistakes you make, you still have value. Amen. I think about somebody like Samson. Samson was a mighty warrior. He was born. His whole purpose for being born was to defeat and destroy Philistines, right? One time in Samson's life, he beat down 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a dead animal, right? It seems almost impossible. As soon as he would have hit the first man, that bone should have broken pieces. But the anointing was on Samson, and he took that jawbone and he just started hitting whatever came in his way, and he beat down 1,000 Philistines. It wasn't because Samson was strong, but the God in him was strong.
Amen.
And you, it's not because you're strong, but it's the God in you. Amen. That is strong. Listen, Samson beat down 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a dead animal. And one time Samson found himself in sin. He was at somebody's house that he should not have been at. The Bible said he was at the harlot's house. He should not have been there at that house. But when they gathered around the house, they knew Samson was in there. They said, "We're going to kill him tonight." They made a pledge. "We're going to get Samson. As soon as he comes out the house, we're going to get him." And I noticed this, you know, that when Samson came out, the Bible tells us that he took the gates, the doors of the gates and the posts. He took everything and carried it up top of the hill. So when they were trying to destroy him while he was in sin, the devil couldn't kill him.
Amen.
Because he still had value.
Amen.
And I want you to know that tonight. Even though if you are in sin, the devil cannot kill you. Amen. Some of you might have been very close to death, but the devil cannot kill you.
Amen.
Because God says you have value.
Amen.
God proved it, because while Samson was in bondage, he got there with Delilah, and I am one that absolutely believes, whether it's male or female, no matter how old you are, every one of us has a Delilah that we have to face and we have to overcome. Everybody has a Delilah that they face, and sometimes it's not always in relationships. It could be other things that just cripples you. But listen, while he was in bondage, he got in trouble with Delilah, and he ended up losing his, he had that Nazirite vow. He lost his hair, and now he's in bondage, right? But no matter what, while he's in bondage, maybe Samson thought, man, his self-esteem was pretty low. He felt worthless, not only to himself, he felt worthless to the Israelites, his people. He felt like he let them down. Sometimes as young people, you feel, I let myself down, I let my parents down, I let the church down, I let everybody, I let God down. But even in that situation, and Samson feeling that way, he still had one more prayer. And in that situation, he began to pray and say, you know, "Lord, I'm sorry." Say, you know, just let me die with the Philistines. He said, "Once more, Lord." And I'm going to tell you, God heard Samson's prayer.
Amen.
Because he still had value for Samson.
Amen.
No matter how worthless he felt, God still saw something of value inside of Samson.
Amen.
And he heard that prayer and he granted it right there on the spot. He said, "Once more, Lord," he said, "let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed the temple down. And Samson, at his death, killed more Philistines at his death than he'd ever done in all of his life.
Amen.
Because he was a man that still had value. You might not be as bad off as Samson. You might not be as bad off as this man living in the graveyard. No matter where you are, I want to tell you that God still sees value in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I absolutely believe that tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just read something here for you. Before I read that, there was a statement that Brother Branham had made to some young men. They were in a museum or something like that, and they were looking at, you know, some things, and they saw that a man was, you know, worth 84 cents, all the components that make a human being, you know, the calcium and all this other stuff, you know, all that, you know, they're only worth 84 cents. So these two little fellas just begin to laugh, and we're only worth 84 cents. And Brother Branham began to look at him and say, you know, you take that 84 cents, and if you went to a restaurant and somebody put a spider in your soup, man, that 84 cents would get so upset, and you'd be demanding, you know, I mean, I'm going to get some compensation here. You know, you're demanding it. You treat the 84 cents like it's worth everything. But he told these young fellas, he said, you know, you're laughing over the 84 cents. He says, but there's a soul on the inside of the 84 cents that's worth 10,000 worlds.
Amen.
Your soul is worth so much to God. Listen. Oh, my. There's value. This is out of the Message identified masterpiece of God. The value is based on whose hands it's in. That's how we know whether it's value or not. And I can tell you, when you've placed your life in the hands of Almighty God, there is absolute value. I don't care what you've gone through, I don't care what you go through, there's still value if you place your entire life in the hands of Almighty God. Listen to this. Identified masterpiece of God. He says, you know, the old master violinist one time, you've heard the story. They had an old violin and auctioned it off. They wanted to sell it, but nobody would buy it. They said, who will give a dollar? Who will give a dollar and a half? Finally, going once, going twice, a dollar and a half. Finally, an old gray-haired man stepped out of the audience. You know the story. Picked it up, said, let me have it. Put some rods on his bow and struck it a few times. The people began to weep. And Brother Branham said maybe he began to play, you know, there's a fountain filled with blood, right? It says the people began to weep. The tears began to run off their faces like that. And when they did, the auctioneer picked up again. Who will make one? Who will make one? Said $1,000, $2,000, $5,000. What was the difference? The master, the one who knew it, the one who built it. He knowed how to get out of it what was in it.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, God knows exactly how to get out of you what he placed in you.
Amen.
When other people might see you as worthless, God says you have value.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just got one more that I want to read here. Amen. Tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. There is value. There is value. Absolute value. Amen. In everything you do. I just love it. You know, when I just think about how the devil, even when I was a young man, before I even come to the spot of preaching the gospel, there was a time in my life I was actually thinking about leaving and backsliding, going out in the world. And I was headed to church one night. I had a brother of mine with me, and I went to pick him up, and we were heading to church that night. And as we were heading to church, I took a route that I had never taken before to go to church. And I said, well, this is a shortcut. We'll jump off here, and we'll go this way. And as I'm traveling, you know, down that road that night before service, roughly around 7 o'clock at night, a car comes out of nowhere and just hits my car right on the side. And when it hit me on the side, it turned my car over. And I went sliding down the street, you know, on my hood. And when that occurred, you know, I only thing I can think of in my mind is, man, this car is going to blow. The car was on, we're on our hood, and I'm thinking, man, this car is gonna blow and that's gonna be it.
Well, I was conscious enough, so I just turned the car off. I turned it off, and when I turned it off, I looked at my passenger, and I said, "Hey, are you all right?" And while I was saying, "Hey, are you all right?" all I saw was his feet going out the window. So I realized that he was much larger than I was. I said, if he got out, then I can get out.
Amen.
And I took that seatbelt off and I went right out the same window that he went out. And when we got out of the car, you know, we looked and said, "Are you all right?" And everybody's, you know, circling us. And when they did that, you know, I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay. You know, he's okay." And we looked, and a terrible accident like that, I think I ended up with a scratch on my pinky finger, and he ended up with a scratch on his right pinky finger. Satan was trying to kill both of us. Yeah. Now both of us are pastors today.
Amen.
But before I got to this point, Satan was trying to kill me. Young people, I'm telling you, God still had value.
Amen.
God still had value. And if he had it for me, he has it for you.
Amen.
He has no respect of persons. Amen. You can go back in your life and look at many times where maybe you had a brush against death. There's been many other times I had a brush against death. One in particular, I was roughly, my mom would have to help me. I don't know how old, maybe 4 or 5 years old or something like that. And I went with my cousins, and they were all at a swimming pool, and they were swimming. And as they were swimming, you know, they were on the shallow end of the pool because none of them could really swim. So they were just, you know, in the area where they could stand up. Well, I went to the deep end of the pool. I'm younger than all of them. And I went to the deep end of the pool, and I was taking rocks, and I was throwing them inside the pool, and I would scoop them out. I'd throw it in, and I'd scoop it out. Throw it in and scoop it out. And I thought I had a really good game going. And I'm going to let this rock go a little deeper, and I'm going to scoop it out. And when I let it go a little deeper, I actually fell inside the pool. And it was told to me, because after that, I don't remember what happened. But what they told me is that you fell inside the pool, and the lifeguard happened to be skating by the pool at that time. And she took off one skate. She couldn't get the other skate off. She jumped into the pool with one skate on. And she got you up out of the pool. And they called the paramedics, and they called the firemen, they called just about everybody at the time. And when they called all these people, I was just out, and all these people were working on me, trying to bring me back. 4 or 5 years old, they're trying to bring me back. And when the paramedics, you know, were there, and they're pressing my chest, they're trying to get all the water out and all this, and all I remember from the time that I threw the rock in, the only thing I remember is that I woke up in the lap of a paramedic. And they had a helicopter there getting ready to take me away. But I woke up in the lap, and I woke up in his lap, and I'm looking around. I was like, "Well, what in the world is all this? What happened? Where all these people come from?" And they told me I was pretty much that close to death. And the reason I couldn't die,
amen,
it's because of value.
Amen. 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 Amen.
The reason you can't die. The reason, I mean, I don't care how much Satan has tried. He's been defeated.
Come on.
Amen.
Because God sees value.
Amen.
Satan says you're worthless, but God says you're valuable.
Amen. Amen.
That scripture that we read first in Matthew 13, before we read this last quote, Matthew 13, it said, oh my, this little statement. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. It says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking godly pearls. I'm sorry, goodly pearls. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, I look at this scripture from two different angles here tonight, and I just want to bring both angles to you. Amen. The first angle is, once a person comes in contact with Christ, because he is truly the pearl of great price. And once a person comes in contact with Christ, then they should sell everything they have in order to serve him. The other angle is that you are so valuable. You are the pearl of great price to him. That he left the throne in glory. And he came down here to die for you. Because you were worth dying for. And if you were worth dying for, my question is he worth living for? Let's read this last quote. It's coming out of the message, Deceived Church by the World. So that's why I sing that song, You Thought I Was Worth Saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free. I could be whole, and I could tell everyone I know. Look at this. Deceived Church by the World. Brother Random says, so revival in our day. How can we have it when the regular revival giver is bound by the world? God won't come in where the world is. You can just depend on that. You associate with the world, then it's all of it. When you let the world creep in, you go to acting like the world. Then you are finished. But when you cut loose every fetter from the world and come to God, God will use you until you go to flirting again. Here's the only hope that I have this morning to wind up this message is this. While Samson was bound, a new shock of hair growed out. It says, God, send us another church just before the end time, that the power of the Holy Ghost can come into her in the demonstrations of the Spirit, and Mark 16 can follow the church. Acts 2:4, Acts 2:38, all of it will be following right along with the church. Signs and wonders accompany the apostles. Great signs of his resurrection accompany them. While we are in prison, surely God is growing a crop somewhere for the last great kill. May it be you, my Christian friend, here this morning. May it be your strength has begun to grow. I pray that this message this morning and out in the land to where this will go, I trust that this message will help bring the vitamin to your system that'll grow spiritual power back into your life again. Amen. And the prophet says, let us bow our heads and pray. That's exactly what we want to do. Let's bow our heads and pray. Before I pray, I want you to just think on the words that were spoken to your heart tonight. If you're one tonight here and you say, Brother Jack, I'm one that feels worthless. I feel the enemy has put me in some situations, caused me to make some decisions that I should not have made. And I feel worthless tonight, but I've heard the word of the Lord that tells me that I'm still valuable. In order for you to gain that value, you have to put yourself in the hands of your maker. You have to walk with him. You have to serve him. You have to live for him. And if you're just that one tonight, say, I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not walking the way that I'm supposed to walk, but I want to be in his hands. Just lift your hand right where you are tonight. I'm not going to have you do any more than just lift your hand, because I'm going to pray for you tonight. If that's you and the Lord has spoken to your heart, he wants you to know how valuable you are to him. He sees your hands. Those that have lifted their hands, just be sincere. We're going to pray. And I believe that tonight can be your night, that God can show you how valuable you are, just like he showed that man in Mark chapter 5, how valuable he was. I don't care what you've done. That does not matter. But the Holy Spirit is here even right now. to give you the freedom and the liberty that you need to be able to serve him. Let's pray. Father, you see the hands that are lifted in this place. The word has been spoken. God, and I don't know what people have gone through, but Lord, I just was trying to be obedient to your voice just to speak this message tonight. And God, somebody realizes that no matter what they have gone through, Satan might have tried to kill them many times, but yet they stood in this place tonight because they realize that there is value. God, I pray that as their hands are lifted, underneath the hand is a heart. A heart that needs you, a heart that wants to serve you, a heart that wants to walk with you. God, I pray that you would do, amen, the mighty work. The Bible tells us that as, Lord, when we just believe on you, we just believe on you, God, that's when things begin to change. So, Lord, as they believe on you tonight, as they just take confidence in your word, that it was you that was speaking to them, not Brother Jack, but it was you, it was your voice that was calling out that they are still valuable, no matter what has occurred. I pray, God, that you would make it so real to them. We were that pearl of great price, that you would leave your throne in glory to come to us and bring redemption story. And God, you loved us so much that you would die for us. Now, God, we want to love you so much that we would live for you. Receive each one, God. And maybe there's some that didn't lift their hands, but Lord, they heard your voice tonight. May the Holy Spirit continue to deal with their hearts until they've made all things right with you. Satan, we command you in the name of Jesus to loose God's people and let them go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Sing it together. Why me, Lord?
What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known?
Tell me, Lord.
Oh, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, I've wasted it so.
Lord,
let's sing that chorus one more time together. This quote tonight goes right along with what Brother Jack was talking about from 1960, God's wrapped gift. He said, poor old Legion, he was the only one that wanted help. He always comes to those who wants him. He comes to those who needs him. So he was the only one was helped. I've often thought, when I get to heaven, I want to see how much weight his testimony give on hog raisers over in Gadara. Well, if it's going to cost them a herd of hogs, they didn't want no revival. Oh my. He says if it's going to cost people anything, they don't want nothing to do with it. Amen. We're not invited to a picnic. We're invited to a battle, but it's worth it. He loved you enough to give his life for you. Amen. Now will you live your life for him, Brother Jack asked us tonight. What a challenge. What a challenge. Not only to these young people, but to the old as well. Amen. God touched your heart tonight. You have a need, whether you need prayer or whether you just want to come up and pray around the altar, you're welcome tonight. Amen. We're not in too big of a hurry. This is special meetings, and we're just going to worship the Lord together tonight. I was so bound up. My life was so tied up. No peace within. Oh, my chains could not hold me. Confused. Lonely, so shackled with sin. Oh, but who is that coming on the other side of the sea? His eyes of compassion, oh, they're piercing through me. I was confused, so lonely, so shackled with sin. Oh, but who is that coming on the other side of the sea? His eyes of compassion, oh, they're piercing through me.
Oh, I know.
us again together. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus.
Than my Jesus.
There's no one greater than Jesus.
Oh, I know.
Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. I was hated and rejected by my neighbors, detested, no peace within. I was the talk of conversation for my multiple relations, so shackled with sin. Sun was burning down. I hid my face from embarrassment, from my lifestyle so bound. There was Messiah. He was sitting on a well. My story of life. Oh, he began to tell. Samaritan, I will call you my daughter. Oh, from out of your soul shall flow living water. Oh, 'cause there's no one greater than my Jesus. Oh, I know. Oh, there's no one greater.
Oh, he said you have tonight. He hasn't given up on you. Maybe you even tried to give up on yourself, but he loves you tonight. He came from the throne of heaven to save you tonight.
Oh, I know there's no one greater.
He loved you so much he gave his life for you. He recognized the value in you. When you was unlovable, when everybody thought you was unsavable, condition he found you in, hated, rejected by my neighbors, detested, no peace within. I was the talk of conversation for my multiple relations, so shackled with sin. Oh, but then at noonday, when the sun was burning down, I hid my face from embarrassment, from my lifestyle so bound. There was Messiah. He was sitting on the well. My story of life.
Oh, I know there's no one greater.
to Him again with all your hearts. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus.
Than my Jesus.
Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus.
Oh, church, I know.
Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus.
One more time together.
Tonight, oh, spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, you weren't born for this valley, but you were born for the sky.
Brother Terry, Sergeant, would you come and dismiss us in a word of prayer? Let's sing it again together.
Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle, and nothing like it, dear God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message we heard today from our brother, Lord. Oh, God, you love your people. There's
more than anything, He wants to, He loves all of us, and He just wants to reach out. Oh, Lord, You care so much for every one of us, Lord. We can't thank You enough for everything You've done for us, and to hear the message tonight, and just want to reach out, and just You want souls, Lord. You want to hear from people. You want to communicate with us and talk to us, Lord. We just love You, Lord, so much. You took us from nothing, Lord. You brought us up and just had mercy upon us, Lord. Father in heaven, we just pray that You just help every one of us, Lord, to reach out to people and tell them how great You are, Lord, and this message of the hour that You sent, the prophet of God that You sent, Lord, to hear the word and the sincerity from Him, Lord, what He tried to tell the people, the word, Lord, God of heaven, to know what's coming on this earth. Oh God, You took us out. You saved us, Lord, from a life of destruction. You want to save more, Lord, and to show Your way. Oh God. Now, Lord, as we go on our separate ways out here, Lord, and the weather's real bad out there, God, I just pray You protect us all and get us home safe, dear Lord God, and bless us in the coming days, Lord, when we get together, Lord. We love You and thank You for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen.
God bless you. You can be dismissed tonight. Let's sing it as we go, and be sure and greet our visitors, fellowship with one another. Amen.
Drive your spirit to the ground, bound up with wings, little
it'll eat.